of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents
In the Narthex
with Father Paul Patitsis.
Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church.
And now your host, Father Paul.
Εν Θεού αγάπης το πυρ δεξάμενος υπερβαλούσις ασκήσει εδόθης όλος Θεό και παρακλήσεις πολλών ανθρώπων γεγονάς λογιστής νοθετών προσευχές θαυματούργων παΐσι ε Θεοφόρε. Και νυν πρεσβεύεις απαύστος υπέρ πάντος του κόσμου οσίε. Once the fire of love for the Lord was lit in you, through ascetical rigor you gave yourself to God. O God bearing Saint Paisios, for many you became. Consolation giving counsel with God's inspired words, and by your prayers working wonders. And now, devout one, you intercede for the whole world unceasingly.
Welcome to In the Narthex, the radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis of Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. Today, it's our honor to speak to you about one of the newest saints of our Holy Orthodox Church, who died in 1994, and who, by God's grace, I was privileged to meet during his life, his earthly sojourn, and that his name is Elder Paisios, or Saint Paisios of Mount Athos. So today we'll be speaking about him. Thank you for listening again in today. We're talking about Saint Paisios. Saint Paisios, if you ever were blessed to meet him, as I was blessed to meet him, you found a man not very tall, about 5'6", maybe 5'8". I would say closer to 5'6", but it's been a long time since I saw him. I met him in 1981, and at the time, there were already people saying, "This is an amazing lumined elder, and you should see him." And that's the reason why I went to see him, even though I was just a young tyke at that time. Someone had recommended us to go meet him. So my brother and I went to see him, and we have never rued the day, as they say. We've never regretted it. What a very precious, precious person. And he had a big impact on Greece. And on the people of Greece, but not only now in Greece, many people throughout the world have come to hear about Saint Paisios and his clarity, his clairvoyance, his love, his gentleness, his sense of humor, his heartwarming smile, his gentleness, his kindness. And to help me discuss some of his life today, I have brought someone who imitates him, Presbytera Katerina.
Which one of those things would you say I imitate?
All of them.
I don't know. You know, he was known And if you listen to the epistle reading that was chosen for today, he was known as someone who had all of the virtues of the Holy Spirit, or all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
I think they called them in that passage fruits.
But some people call them gifts. Yeah. And Yerondisa Taxiarchia, blessed memory, who died just months apart from St. Paisios, said, once you acquire a gift of the Holy Spirit, no one can take that away from you. So he was quite rich in that regard. And I think there's lots of people who perhaps imitate him a little bit, but not too many people who have the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the degree that he did.
Mm. Well, yeah, that's a very important point. We should we'll bring that passage up in a little bit from Galatians. What can we say? Well, let's start with his early life. He lived in Cappadocia, which is in Asia Minor, and in a village called Pharasa, when he was born, there was this, I guess, exchange of populations or something was going on politically, that his family was all uprooted from Asia Minor and forced to come to Greece.
He was just a child when he left.
He was just a child when he left.
I mean, little child. He was probably 2 years old or something.
Younger. Yeah, that's right. He was just an infant. And he was baptized by another man who has been declared a saint, Saint Arsenius of Cappadocia. And Saint Arsenius, when his parents, because his parents had many children, went to baptize him, they wanted to name him after someone. I don't know. They'd already named all their relatives, but they had picked a name. And so he said, "What are you? You have so many children. You didn't name any after me."
Oh, you're talking about
Saint Paisios.
Saint Paisios, when he was
baptized by Saint Arsenius.
Okay.
So Saint Arsenius said, "Nobody, you haven't baptized anybody after my name."
Oh, gotcha.
So then he took the name Arsenius. He was given the name Arsenius.
That's right.
In baptism.
Yeah, it's in the life of Saint Paisios. I think it might be in the life of Saint Arsenius as well.
Yeah, it could be. And that was written, by the way, the life of Saint Arsenius is written by Saint Paisios, who gave us
he might have put that in there.
Yeah. So he told us that story, and then they came to Greece, and forgive me for forgetting where they ended up, but I think they were in Ithaca at some point. But anyway, they finally his life took many turns, but he found himself deeply in love with Christ. And there's a story of his life that's kind of poignant. There was a man, much like our time, I suppose, who thought himself wise in the ways of the world and was trying to dissuade young Arsenios from believing in God. And he said, "Arsenio, we're all descended from monkeys. You know, Christ is nothing." And for a moment, you know, I don't want to say, you know, a few seconds. I mean, for some time, he struggled with that thought. And he thought about it quite a bit, and he said, "You know, even if Christ is only a man, no other human being was as kind, as good, and as perfect, and as loving, and as gentle, and as forgiving, and as divine as that man. So I'm going to love him with all my heart."
So he started his Christian walk, his conscious, determined Christian walk, as someone who's going to love God and love Christ.
Yeah.
Shining your light in the face of danger. Oh, tell us what you know. You're a saint, you're a son, you're a promise keeper. Bottom of the well, still digging down deeper. Oh, how far you gonna go?
chasing down hope, moving on dreams, taking that path, maybe it'll lead you home, maybe it won't. Nobody knows why your heart is broken, nobody cries while your prayers are going on. Oh, love does. Nobody walks on the road you're paving, nobody sees all the souls you're saving. In a midnight alley, looking for life in a desert valley. Oh, how far you gonna go? Chasing down hope, moving on dreams, taking that path. Maybe it'll lead you home.
That's a great song you chose, Brigidetta. Tell us again the name of the artist. I don't know why I always forget.
Oh, yeah, that's Brandon Heath.
Brandon Heath.
It's called Love Does.
Love Does. And it. It talks about the struggles of being a pastor and a priest and a minister.
And it kind of describes St. Paisios as well.
It does. You, once again, you chose wisely. Because he had his challenges. His biggest challenges were with his health. But that, of course, happened later in his life. But just to give you an idea of what kind of life he had, before he went to the monastery, he had to serve in the Greek military. And that was not during World War II, but during the Civil War afterwards, and which was unfortunately a very bloody period of Greek modern Greek history. And he didn't want to carry a gun. And of course, everyone was supposed to carry a gun, but he just couldn't. He just couldn't. So he had only one thing that he carried, which was he was the radio operator. And in those days, the radios, there were two-way communication, not like now you're just listening to me and you can't radio me back and have a conversation with me. But in those days, they were a two-way communication, like a cell phone, essentially. And you cranked, you had to crank it to generate the electricity in order to make the broadcast. And the main job that you had as the radio operator was to let people know where you were, so that when you got hemmed in by the adversary, by other combatants, that you had some way to get out. That is to say, to let others know where you were so they could find you, or even to call in an airstrike and so forth. So so he was very an important part of the military, even though he just served as a radio operator. And that job as a radio operator impacted him greatly because he learned that that was like prayer. He said, you know, if you don't have your contact with God, you're going to die. you're in such a dangerous situation. So don't even think about it. And then he told the stories from he didn't tell me, in his writings. He told the stories from his life in the military and just how difficult it was. I mean, they really, really came close to death many times. And if it wasn't for his ability to use that radio, they would have been overrun by enemy. They would have been killed.
What did he tell you when you talked to him? Do you remember?
Oh, well, my brother and I went to see him, and my Greek wasn't so good back then, so I don't know if I understood everything he said. But the main thing that I wanted to know, which I didn't tell him, because I couldn't speak very much Greek, so I didn't even ask the question. But the main thing I wanted to know was, how do we know what God's will for us is? And
you were 17?
Either 17 or 18, I'm not sure. It was either March or April somewhere.
Okay, so you were 18.
I don't know, 17 or 18. So he chose that particular question that I hadn't verbalized, he chose as his topic. So he addressed that. How do we know God's will? And that was that made a big impact on me. I think that just to give you the short version, the short version is that he felt that in order to discern God's will in this life, we have to do the thing that brings us joy. Not that it won't have suffering and sorrow. You know, there's always suffering and sorrow. So joy and happiness aren't always the same thing. But do the thing which brings us joy. And when he said that, I said, oh, great. I said to myself, then I'm not going to be a priest. Because at that point in my life, I thought that that would not bring me any joy. But because I had this feeling that God wanted me to be a priest, and so I thought there was an opportunity to escape that calling.
Right.
But somehow or other, as the years went by after meeting St. Paisios, my life so changed that I knew that I wanted to be a priest. I really did. And I knew that it would bring me joy. And I knew it would bring me sorrow. But I chose that path.
Sometimes it takes a storm to really know the light. The scent of rain, the weight of clouds pulling down the sky. Sometimes it takes a storm to know how you feel, to understand indigo and the varnished sun lighting up the fields. It takes the rain between the lines to know what sorrow finds. The way a cloud divides sometimes, the clearing and the blue. I love you. I was just passing through and taken by surprise between the black sky and the blue.
Well, as we were saying earlier in this program, we were talking to you about St. Paisios of Mount Athos, who died in 1994. There's so many stories to tell about him, but I think two stories that stand out in my mind I want to tell. Presidente, do you know the story of him meeting St. Efimia?
Yes, I do.
Will you tell that story? I want to tell the little story first, and then you tell that story. You
Are
ready?
You serious?
Yes.
I hope I remember it well.
Okay, well, don't worry. We're together.
Okay.
So there's a story of this man came to visit him who was an atheist. And he was a kind man, nothing wrong with him, he was a good person. And but he felt sorry for St. Paisios, that he should believe in God, you know. So they had a pleasant conversation, and at some point, you know, St. Paisios was advising him to love God, and the man, just out of courtesy, said, I'm sorry, Yerunda, I don't believe in God. You don't believe in God? No, I don't. I'm a professor at the university. I don't believe in God. I'm sorry. I mean, I respect you, but I don't have any belief. So St. Paisios looked at him like, you know, what planet are you from? He said, what are you talking about? Even the lizards believe in God. He says, what? So there was a little lizard. I don't know how, you know, those little skinks, I think they call them. They're so small, you know. They're maybe 6 inches long, or I don't know how many centimeters. And he sees one scurrying by, and he says to the skink, he says, do you is there a God? He asks the skink. So the skink stands up on its two hind legs, leans back on its tail, and motions with its head, as only you can do in the Greek language, yes, which is you move your chin from the left to the right, down toward your chest. And he moved his chin exactly that way. And then he scurried off. And the atheist saw that happen. And he's like, oh. He didn't know what to say because he never saw a skink bow his head and make a yes gesture before.
That one was written somewhere in one of the the account of his life.
Yes, yes.
Somewhere, and I wonder who passed that one along to the writer of the book.
Probably the man himself. I would imagine he was changed after that.
Yeah, it might be.
Tell us now about life with his.
I like the story about somebody that we know better. I mean, we'll tell the story of Saint Euphemia, which is an amazing, wonderful story. But I would rather
tell about
the story of a friend of ours who went to visit him, and
fine.
He had a habit of being gone when people were coming to visit. It was as if he could hear them coming, and most people who tried to visit him actually didn't get to visit with him because. Yeah, he couldn't be bothered. He had his prayers to do. He had so many things to do. He was self-sustaining.
Well, he did see a lot of people, but he had several days that were, it was verboten, as they say in German, to come and see him. So if you came on one of those days, he wasn't going to.
Well, we don't know if it was one of those days when he came, but so the two young men went. They were in their 20s, and we know both of them, and that they knocked on, rang the bell, and he didn't. He didn't appear. They said, what should we do? We came from so far away. So he says, well, what time is it? He says, it's time for Vespers. They said, yeah, it's time for Vespers. So it was the evening. And so why don't we just start doing the prayers for Vespers while we're here, and then we can go. So they did the prayers for Vespers. And I think, if I remember correctly, they got to the part where they were going to say the Lord's Prayer, which is towards the end. And they're out in the woods now. They're out on Mount Athos and, you know, dirt and rocks and twigs and dry leaves and all of that hanging around. And as they were starting the Lord's Prayer, a third voice came upon them, and it was St. Paisios himself. And he showed up, but they never heard him approaching. They never heard his footsteps. They never heard his breathing. They didn't know that he was with him the whole time. And so he sat with them and advised them, they were very happy, because now they can say that they met Saint Paisios.
We don't need to say specifically what he advised them, but both of them followed his advice, and both of them are living a happy life.
They did. They both did. They took his advice wholeheartedly. The other story is Saint Euphemia, who he loved very much, and in prayer he had encountered her in heaven through his prayer, and from that time on he just loved her even more, and she was a great inspiration to him because she suffered many tortures when she was young. She was only 17 when she was martyred, if I remember correctly, and so. So one day he's in his hut, and there's a knock at the door, and the monastics are typically suspicious of anybody knocking at the door, and especially because he had this little bridge that you needed to cross, and you had to ring the bell before he would open up for you to come in. But this time the knock was right at the door, and he didn't hear anybody coming. So he said, go away. And... she says, it's me, Euphemia. And he said something like, no, you're the devil, go away. And he said, no, it's me, Euphemia. He said, I don't have time to talk to you, I have to say my prayers. So she walked through the closed door to greet him. And when she saw him walk through the closed door, he still was not trusting his own eyes and his own thoughts about it. So he asked her to bow down into the sign of the cross, to an icon of Christ or a cross or something like that, to kiss the cross.
And Holy Trinity.
Okay, Holy Trinity. And she did, and so then he accepted her and offered her hospitality, but not before they said their prayers together. And so he got to sit and chat with her, and as the story goes, he sat and chatted with her for 4 hours.
4 hours? I didn't remember that.
I remembered that part. Well, I remember that part from John File added that part to the story, and then she left. But one of the things that he asked her was, "How did you endure all of those sufferings?" Do you remember what her answer was?
Yes, I do. You should say it.
Why you say it?
Well, because you're telling a story. But anyway, so she says, "How did you endure all those sufferings that you endured?" She says, "If I knew the glory of heaven that I behold now." I would have endured 10,000 times as much suffering.
I think what she said is she would have endured that same suffering from the day she was 17 until the present age, if she only would have known.
Oh, I didn't hear it that way.
Yeah, no, that's how I heard it.
Oh, well, different version.
Yeah, that's okay. We can correct each other.
Divna Presbytera.
No, it's not. It's,
Is it Nektaria? Somebody named Nektaria?
Nektaria Karanti. Karanzi.
Karanzi. What a voice.
Karanzi. Yeah.
Well, I want to sing to you, not that I have a voice like Nektaria Karanzi, but I want to sing to you one of the hymns that we sang last night at Vespers, and knowing that some of you might be listening to this in yesterday.
That's right. And it's you've got 2.5 minutes.
Okay. It says, "What a paradoxical miracle. How did you, O Father, being in the body, hear the sound of the angels as they glorified our God? And how was it when your hands accepted food as a gift from the Mother of God? And also, how was it when, with Ephemia the martyr, you reverently conversed? More than all of these, how was it when you saw the Lord of all, brightly shining in beauty, blessed saint glorified by God?" Amazing that he saw Christ, he saw the Virgin Mary, and he saw Saint Ephemia, and he saw many other saints too.
There were so many hymns, though, that talked about his actual personality and how, you know, how kind and how the encouragement that he gave to other people. Can you find that?
Yeah, we'll do that one. Yeah. "Oh, devout Saint Paisios, as the warmth of your love poured out from your purest heart, it embraced creation all. Thus many people would find in you a father compassionate, kind, affectionate, concerned. Even animals came to you, Father, without fear, as they did once to Adam there in paradise before his disobedience of the Creator's divine command." Is that the one you're thinking?
That's one of them, but that's good. And we've got like a minute to go.
"Now your grave is a clinic for all who faithfully visit it, and a warm asylum for those who cry to you. O tender Father Paisios, of old you strengthened and saved many people in the world. Now we pray you to strengthen us and to comfort us. Give us health for our souls and for our bodies, and incite us to be zealous in our repentance and works of love." Well, we thank you for listening to today's program. It's an unusual program on the life of Saint Paisios. We hope you found it a blessing. It was our blessing to offer to you. As always, this is a ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, located in Wellington, whose Archshepherd is His Eminence Archbishop Miron.
By the waters of Babylon, still and deep, the sun rose in midnight, I was not asleep. I saw a man with a javelin, a carriage of steel.